All right, now we're gonna go ahead here. Well, you know what? We're always testing, even if it's gonna be put out there for everybody to hear. It's always a bit of a test. Here we are on the road between the crash site and mountain air. A couple of guys at the side of the road riding those motocross bicycles. I haven't seen any of that before. This part of the country is getting positively genteel. But this area is pretty gosh golly nice. Surrounded by mountains, plateaus, but you can see the sky all the way around. There's some clouds, and you can see rain here and there at a distance. I know it rained here yesterday because it's kind of soggy when I got to the sailboat. Sailboat's name is Reunion, but I decided to make it more French to say Reunion. And I guess that means, I don't know what that means. Coming together, I suppose, like a reunion. However, I don't think I'm going to go too awfully far before I turn back here. I've got a nice little display here that tells me kind of my average miles to the gallon right now. It says 50.6. The back way, the state highway that I take, sometimes when I'm not in much of a rush, it only lets you go 45 or 50 miles an hour. So you can get up pretty high mile per gallon rating. Most time I keep this little car. Even when you're doing 75 on an interstate highway and you've got a little bit of an incline, you're still going to be getting over 40 miles an hour. So it's nigh on to the perfect vehicle for what I do. I've been amazed by how much stuff I can stuff into here when I need to. Lumber. Big old tarps fold up pretty small, and you put it in the back end, and there it is. So go ahead and know a little bit about the crash site and about how it came to be and what a monk does with it. It's the monkly thing that I do. I've never seen so much traffic on this road before. This is a US 60 that I'm driving on right at the moment. One turn off of this road and you're on dirt roads, and it's just maybe a couple of miles down a dirt road, and then you're at the crash site. Now, I'm not going to give you lots of particulars about it because I like my privacy, but this is actually a little better climate than Tucumcari, where Lisa lives during the week and I go and join her on the weekends. Because this is up pretty high, it's about 6,000 feet, where Tucumcari is down around 4,000. And so Tucumcari tends to be a little bit hotter than this. We're getting close to some mountains. The Manzano Mountains are on my left. I don't know what these mountains are to my right. Maybe they still call them the Manzano Mountains, but I don't think so. I just don't know what they're called. Long time ago, like back in the 50s and the 60s, old fella decided he was going to get out of the ranch business. And he took his land and he subdivided it into usually 1 acre lots. And he sold it off to people back east, telling them that come 5 or 10 years, such growth was going on around Albuquerque that they would make an absolute killing for people wanting to buy their place from him. Well, it never quite happens. A little too far from Albuquerque. It's a good solid hour's drive. And, well, anyway, over the years, these things have been, a lot of these acreages have just been frankly abandoned when the speculators figured out that there wasn't anything to speculate on. The prices now range between $500 an acre up to $2,000 or $3,000 an acre. I'm hard pressed to know where the price difference really comes in. I bought mine for $1,500. And I originally bought it when I first got a job in Socorro at New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology. There's a kind of a research and development arm to it. Takes on some government contracts, some military contracts, a little bit classified. Well, I took a job there doing that. I did that for a year and a half. So, yeah, I got a phone call. I don't know if it was my wonderful wife or somebody, but I didn't pick it up. I'm not used to being contacted out here, so I have to find out if it's something that Lisa wanted me to know. Anyway, so pretty soon here I'm going to turn around, drive back toward the crash site that I call it. Kind of starting to call it the crash site monastery. Because I'm pretty monkish out there. I'm by myself and nobody comes out to see me. There's been a few of my family members have come to help me take care of some things there. Lisa even came once just to see what it was all about. She tried to sit down on the back part of the boat and it almost flipped over on her. So she didn't like it. And that's the Lisa prerogative. There's very little that Lisa gets used to. Either things are okay for or things aren't. And she makes the decision on that pretty quick. So anyway, I'm going to drive back over here. We're going to keep making the recording because I kind of want to see how it does with the bumpy road. It's kind of a washboard. Dirt roads everywhere. So we get a few miles of that. Right now it's getting, you know, we're in the middle of September, so fall's coming on quickly. And well, with all the hurricanes down in the Gulf of Mexico, we're getting a little more rain than normal, and sometimes they call this the monsoon season, but I think it's just all of the leftovers of all the really destructive storms that are taking the Gulf Coast. It pumps water up here into our area. Of course, it'll rain. I can just see right over here to the south. There's some nice clouds. You can see the clouds are dumping rain. And there's a little bit looks like they might be getting to the ground. Nowhere near us exactly, right in front of me, which is almost due west, is a pretty good mountain. I think it's up as high as 9,000 feet. It's not amazing. It's not one of the bigger mountains, but it is a mountain. It's not some plateau. Like we have around Tucumcari. They call Tucumcari Mountain a mountain, but it's a plateau. Just been shaved down along the sides by weather and stuff like that. But this is a real live mountain up here. Although I gotta say, it's kind of bald. There's not much vegetation on it. If you go looking at the audio recordings, there'll be one called TK Recordings. That's TK Wyatt, a friend of mine, who lives on the other side of that mountain, about 20 miles away from me. And down a washboard road. Almost all the damage I've done to this car over the last few years was in going down that road, going and visiting TK. TK said he was going to take off, and sure enough he did. There's kind of a rainbow gathering every year up in Taos, and I think he went up there and met up with some people, and he's a busker. If you listen to the recordings, you'll hear him playing his guitar and singing. He does that for money. And, you know, people, it's one of those things, you know, you put down your guitar case, you open it up, you throw a little bit of seed money in there, and you start a singing and playing. And people throw money at you. You know, because they appreciate the music and the effort, and that's good. And TK get enough to take care of this and that. Now, he also gets, he's old enough, I think he gets Social Security of some sort. I think he was in the military once upon a time. And it's a little bit of a pension. Socorro has kind of a thrift store halfway house for old veterans. TK himself and a couple of his buddies bought, it's like 7 acres of land out here. I marked it as Commune TK. It's not, I don't seem to recall that he was one of the guys that had money to put into the project. Others did, and they bought the place. TK was part of their forays for quite a while, and he comes back and he stays there. Of course, it's paid for, and I don't think there's any water out there particularly. He has a car and he helps out things. He helped me out first time I met him. I had driven this little sand. I call this car Sandy. There's a few reasons I do. One of the big reasons is that there's some sandy riverbeds, and I was going across one. I should have just stayed on the road. And it went through this big puddle, but it was much better to go through the puddle than try to go around. I tried to go around it, and I got stuck in the sand. And so I walked back, and well, after I tried to dig myself out a little bit, I was not going anywhere. I found TK's place, went and knocked on his door. I think he wanted to shoot me, but he decided not to, and he helped me get out of my... get out of that sandbar and get back on good solid ground, and he And I started coming and visiting then, bringing him cans of gasoline, you know, the big 5-gallon cans, and which he was real appreciative of. Let him get a little more range than he usually did. He had an old beat-up Honda Element SUV that I think somebody just kind of gave him. It had electrical problems. And he worked diligently fixing some of the electrical problems. Never quite got all of it worked out, but boy, he sure was working at it. When he had left and I went back to go see him and he was gone. And he took some of his stuff. So I knew he wasn't planning on coming back anytime soon. But he left behind a couple of his journals. And so I if you listen to those recordings, a few of them are just readings from his journals. And his journals had a whole lot of wiring diagrams for Honda Element. He was working on it. He would take the battery out and somebody else had given him some solar panels. And he would charge up these batteries, this battery, off the solar panel so that he could get a good, you know, he could start up the car. And a couple of times I saw him out at the Love's truck stop. I'd give him a little bit of money and he'd go get himself some, you know, something like one of those sausage dogs or something at the Love's truck stop. Of course, he had his vices. I don't know if he'd call them that. Probably not. Trying to figure out. I think I'm okay. Trying to figure out if I've already passed my turn, but I don't think I have. Anyway, he drank some marijuana is now legal in New Mexico. At the time, it really wasn't. But he always had some. And, you know, and he'd smoked and drank and did weed. I don't know if he did tougher stuff than that, but I don't think he had the resources to really do anything better than that or more than that. So anyway, he was just an old busker getting by. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know. For all I know, he's dead by the side of the road somewhere. You know, you just don't know about things. People tend to last a lot longer than you think they will. All right. Now you can pay attention and listen. As I'm going down this road, I need to roll up my oops. So I don't get too much dirt in here. It's dirty already, but I don't need to add to it particularly. That first trip I took to go see TK, I actually bent the frame of my car, and part of the frame cut right through my air conditioner compressor line. And so my air conditioner doesn't work anymore, and I've never gotten around to actually trying to fix it. Not, you know, I've gotten kind of accustomed to not having it, and it works okay for me. This summer's been particularly hot, more than normal. Anyway, I'm out here in the middle of all these 1-acre plots. He had it all mapped out. There was roads and all this stuff. Now, the vast majority of the roads never happened. When I bought the place, I just got some GPS coordinates. I think it's the middle of my land. It's kind of a long, skinny rectangle of an acre. And haven't had it surveyed, so I don't know where it really is. For all I know, the geodesic dome that I call the blister that I built probably actually sits only partially on my own land. Probably sits on, actually, if it does anything, it probably extends out into what's supposed to be a street that there isn't. And the street's never going to happen because it's supposed to go all the way, you know, it's a long straight run. And it goes up a hill and down a gully. And when this guy platted it out, he didn't take into account very well the fact that there's some gullies and ravines and things like that. He didn't take that into account. It looks like it's just a bunch of plats with a bunch of 1-acre lots that people were supposed to buy and build houses on, and they were going to run, you know, water lines, sewer lines, and all that business. And that never happened. If there was covenants on the land, they've all been long abandoned. Everybody out here who gets a couple of acres or something just does whatever they want with it. There was one where they were really, they had gotten electricity strung out to their place, and they had put up a big greenhouse, and they had the lights running there all night long. I'm pretty sure they were growing marijuana. I don't know what all the brouhaha is about whether you can grow marijuana or not. It's pretty regulated, so it's hard to say. Oh my gosh. Here's somebody up here. Somebody just moved in today. Oh my goodness, this is the first time I'm seeing them. Huh. Hey, this was one, I went to go visit one of my neighbors not too long ago, maybe about a month ago. And we had talked about this thing where these people had put this fence up on this rise. And now they're out there in a truck, and they got it's not even a tent. Kind of a patio type thing up there. I guess that's pretty good. I'm passing right by. Oh my gosh, can't forget that I... Cody! This is Cody's place. He's got some old beat up cars and stuff like that. Well, regardless. Yeah, we got somebody up there that's moved in. So we'll kind of see what happens there. That's pretty new because I didn't see it there last week. So they've only gone in like this weekend. But here I am at our place, at my place. Oh, I roll down these windows after I finally get stopped, and it's just glorious. It stopped. I don't know why it stopped. I don't know how long it's been stopped. Well. I'll tell you. It's a good day. And I'm still thinking that this is a pretty good situation. Right now I got a pretty good breeze going. Usually Lisa, I'll call my wonderful wife, Lisa, and she'll say, I can't hear you for all the wind and crap like that. So we're going to see what this recording sounds like with wind and stuff like that. It looks like there's quite a bit of noise from it anyway, so just just have to put up with that to a certain extent. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and stop. We got a good recording of how it goes when I'm out on the dirt road getting to the place. We're here at the crash site where I sleep at night. And I've put a few things in, but I probably won't put in anything more. Frankly, I'm getting kind of close to retirement, so this isn't my thing. I'm not going to stay out here. I mean, I'll keep, I may sell it off to somebody if they really want it, but I'm not going to need it forever. Regardless, I'll talk to y'all later. This has been Cohen, Monk, Mormon Podcast. See you next time.